Happy to be in the house of the Lord again. Wish you were here with me. We have a couple of four or five people in the room, but I can't wait to see you here and for you to be a part of it when you're able to. But I am sure glad we're able to have the online worship service that we can provide. And also the FM parking lot service is still going on. We're going to be inside, but it's broadcasting out there. So we're going to keep both the online and the FM up for the time being to make sure that people have an opportunity if they don't want to come inside next week to still worship. And that being said, next week we're back online or in the sanctuary. Whoever wants to come, that's great. We're going to have all kinds of precautions that we take to make sure that we have everybody safe, that we're mitigating all the viral problems that could arise. So there'll be not a lot of communal singing forever. Doors will be open, so you don't have to open doors yourselves. All kinds of things like that to make sure that we're being very careful. But that starts next week. We're back in here next week. If you want to come join us, you can come join us right here in the sanctuary. Or, like I said, continue online or continue listening to it in the parking lot if you choose to. Those are all our options. So anyway, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little bit of fun. As you all know, this is my second in a series of sermons about fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about joy this week. But we're also going to have a blues Sunday. James and Philip and Wes have decided to put together some blues-like renditions of our hymns, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. For those people who were in the class that I did recently, the Bible and the Blues, you know that the end of the blues is hope and joy. And so as we listen to this, we can revel in the fact that God's always there. God's always with us. And we'll find joy in the end. So that's what we're doing this week. It's going to be a lot of fun this week to worship. And next week, I can't wait to be with you as we lift up God's name together. So let's go to God with the call to worship. It comes from Psalm 66 and reads this way. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. All the earth worships You. They sing praises to You. Sing praises to Your name. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we do make a joyful noise today. Even though we are separated by distance, we come together in whatever ways we can today to make sure Your name is lifted up in this church. We thank You, God, because when we look in this world, we see You. When we see friends, when we see neighbors, when we find love and gentleness and caring among people, we see You. When we relate to neighbors that we've never known before and good comes out of it, we know You are a part of it. And so, gracious God, we thank You this morning that we get to experience joy. We thank You that it happens in this worship service when we are very intentional about lifting up Your name. And we thank You, God, that joy exists outside these walls when we just run into it in some situation we didn't even see it coming. So, gracious God, thank You for this day. Thank You for allowing us to lift up all of Your name. And we thank You, God, that we get to lift up Your name and the things You have done. We thank You, God, that this is a place where we get to do that and we get to call on You as our God and our Savior. And we ask You, Lord, to bless this worship service then. Teach us something, lead us and guide us so we can go into the world and live out Your will as You would have it done. Lord, we thank You for this day. And God's people said, amen. And remember, we've got some blues today. This is going to be some fun renditions of our music, of our traditional music. So enjoy this and sing along with us as you know it.
How can I say thanks for the things You have? Of a million angels, they could not express my gratitude. All that I had and ever hoped to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God
be the glory.
Praise God. Amen. I wish I had a parking lot full of people who would honk horns right now, because I know it would happen. That was wonderful, wonderful. Thank you all so much. I want to thank you all, too, for continuing in the tithing that we have seen in the church, through the online, through in person, or whatever. And I thank you that we've been able to continue funding those ministries of the church in these weird and odd times. I want to let you know, just in the last couple of days, we've helped another family, a mother and her 10-month-old were on their own after some situations where they had to be, and so we took them a bunch of food to make sure that the mother and the children had plenty of food to have, and then we took clothes too. So I want to thank you that we've continued having these ministries through your tithes and your offerings. I want to say something else about that though. Our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings are not only those things that we give of out of our wallets or our bank accounts. It's also everything that we are. And so as you live in the world, recognize that there are all kinds of opportunities where we can offer up to God through helping our neighbors or through being nice to somebody or whatever it is. And I hope you take opportunities every day to recognize those moments when we can offer to the world not of our monetary gifts, but every other gift that we've been given. And so I thank you for doing that. And I thank you that there are those in our church when they've had difficulties that everybody chips right in and helps out. And so just continue doing that. And I want to remind us all that our offerings are what we do in this world, not just what we put in the plates on Sundays, but literally everything we do as we live our Christian life. So thank you for everything you do. If you do need prayers for somebody, please make sure you mention those so that we can have our prayer list together. We want to keep track of those that we need to be in prayer for. And I thank you so much that we pray together as a church. I want to read a scripture to you today from Galatians 5:22-23. We read it last week. It's the same scripture. I'm going to leave off the 16th to the 21st verses this time. I hope you go back and read Galatians 5:16-21, and then also the two verses 22 and 23 that we'll read today. 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit are contrasted to some other things, and it helps us to know kind of what we're talking about. But I'll read the last two verses today. It's Galatians 5:22-23, and reads this way. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Let's go to God again in prayer. Lord, we ask that you bless us in the next few minutes to open our ears and our minds to hear those things that we need to hear. Allow us, Lord, to hear this scripture and it to speak to us in some way that changes us or reinforces an understanding in us so that we can live in the fruits of the Spirit in every way that you would choose for us to do so. We thank you, God, that there are those fruits. We thank you, God, that you've lended to those fruits so that we may feast on them and share them with each other. For those that are having a difficult time right now feeling those fruits of the Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to bless them, to hold them, to comfort them, and to put other people in their lives to help bless them and hold them and comfort them too. And we ask, Lord, where we can be a blessing to other people, that you show us how so that we can all enjoy these fruits of the Spirit. Where we, Lord, are missing some, we ask you, show us. We ask you to teach us and lead us in the ways of your life so that we can have these gifts abundantly. Lord, we thank you for this day. And God's people said, amen. So this is week two of a sermon series about the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits we may feast on now and forevermore when we sit with the Spirit to eat. This week we're talking about joy, and here's what I have to say. I have heard that there's a difference between happiness and joy, that happiness and joy are not the same things. So we're going to go with that. That's what we're going to assume this morning to be true. We're going to talk about a kind of happiness. And then we're going to talk about a kind of joy, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what I want to taste. So here we go. Let me talk about it like this. Some of you all know that I hadn't eaten any meat except for fish since Ash Wednesday in February. No beef, no chicken, no pork, whatever. It doesn't matter why. It's just something I decided to do, and so I did it. And that's been real easy most of the time. There's really been no worries. Once or twice I'd like to have some barbecue or maybe a burger or something, but it's like anything else in life. If you decide to do something, you know, you can usually pull it off. But then the other day, y'all, Suzanne did the unbelievable. She had the unmitigated gall to make hot chicken in my presence. That's what she did. She's sitting right here, and that's what she did. She made hot chicken, y'all, and I love hot chicken. I want it hot. I want it Nashville hot chicken hot. If my mouth doesn't go numb, you didn't try hard enough. I love the sting it puts in my eyes when Suzanne's got all the spices dialed up. I like how I get the sniffles before I ever take a bite. I love how I don't know how hot it's going to be until I take my first bite, and it really doesn't matter because I'm going to eat the rest of the piece anyway. I love hot chicken. If you ask me what I'm about, I'll probably say something like Jesus, Suzanne and the kids, Mama and them, Kentucky basketball, and hot chicken, and not necessarily in that order either. And so while I'm not eating hot chicken, Suzanne decided in her infinite wisdom to fix in our house, as God is my witness, hot chicken. She must have used 10 chickens. She had so much to eat. Y'all, now to be fair, Suzanne did have a plan for me too. She didn't leave me hanging. She was there for me. So she made, I don't even know what it is exactly. It has gluten in it, but I don't know what gluten is. And I think it had some wheat in it. And there were some other things that she mixed in, I think, I don't know. But whatever it was, she mixed it all up into a bowl, and she formed it all up together with her hands after kneading it. And she did all her magic with the spices, and she put it in the frying pan. And when it was done, it was sort of the consistency of chicken, really. I mean, more or less. Didn't have much of a taste, really, other than the hot spices. And there was nothing bad about it, you know. That's the thing, is there wasn't anything wrong. It was fine, you know. It was fine. And I'm not just saying that because she's right here. It was fine. I mean, Suzanne can cook this pulpit up and make something good out of it. But so I ate three pieces, you know. I didn't try to feed it to the dog under the table or anything. I ate plenty until I was full. But the whole time I knew that it wasn't really hot chicken. It was hot, whatever it was hot, but I don't know. It wasn't hot chicken. I saw the hot chicken. It was sitting on everybody else's plate. It was sitting on Wes's plate. It was sitting on Phillip's plate. It was greasy. It was crispy. It was funkalicious, but it wasn't mine, you know? And now I'm not complaining. Don't hear me wrong. I'm a grown man. I know I made my own choices about what I was going to eat, what I wasn't going to eat. Don't get me wrong. Ain't nobody forcing me to skip hot chicken. But my point is that while I had food there in front of me, whatever it was called, and while everybody else had Suzanne's hot chicken, I wasn't necessarily happy. Happy wouldn't have been how I defined myself. Resigned to my choices, maybe. A little whiny, maybe, but not happy. Happy was not what I was. But church, I'm going to start witnessing right now. Just because I wasn't happy doesn't mean I wasn't joyful. See, just because I didn't have hot chicken didn't take away one bit, didn't take a sliver away. It didn't take an ounce away of the joy I had that I got to eat it all. See, I knew that while I might not have hot chicken, I was abundant in food. I have plenty of food to sustain me in my life, to my family to share it with, a good roof over our head to share it under. I know and I recognize that I am fortunate and privileged to live in a time and a place where I don't have to eat whatever is in front of me to survive. I have the privilege of being able to choose what I take into my body, hot chicken or not. And so I'm joyful that when I made a choice like I did, that the alternative food was just fine too. It's good. It's nutritious. It's probably more nutritious, actually. And if anybody else ate it at almost any other time in history, they would have considered it a blessing of God. What is it? Manna. That's what it is. I wasn't eating grass. I wasn't eating tree bark. I was eating food. Now, my happy wanted something else. But my joyful knew that God's kingdom provides for us every day, for me and my family, and for that I am always thankful. What I'm saying is that I know I am a lucky one, that in at least one way, God's bounty is easily visible to me in my world, and that makes me joyful when I can see it. Somebody knows what I'm saying in this. Somebody gets this. Somebody has seen a sunrise after a night that wouldn't end. Somebody's gotten a hug when you needed a hug most. Somebody just let you cry one time until there were no more tears, and then you laughed when it was done. Happiness and joy are different because they come from different places. If we define it like this, happiness exists about like a steak does. It tastes good. You can have a bite, but once you take that bite, you got to get a drink of water, and then the taste is gone. And then you take another bite, but that one goes away, and you take another bite, and then you take another one and another one until you don't want any anymore. And you're stuffed. You can't eat another thing, and you push yourself away from the table, but then 3 hours later, you're just hungry again. That's happiness. That's what we do in life too often. We chase after things. If I do this, I'll be happy. If I accomplish that, I'll finally be happy. If I buy this, I'll be happy, except that I'll have to buy something better to keep me happier. We chase one dream, but if we catch it, what then? Where do we go now? And that's a dangerous, dangerous road. But this joy we're talking about, this joy is different than that. It's the realization that though moment to moment I may be eating gluten, wheat, and hot something or another, this creation that God made is unbelievable, man, and I get to live in it. Joy is the understanding that while our lives may have their ups and their downs, the Spirit of God is always there leading us in God's way, leading us in Jesus' way, showing us how perfect it really is if we'll just go and live like it. Joy says that maybe one moment will be worse than the next, but every moment is God-given and a chance to live in the kingdom like we were called to live in it. Joy is knowing that this creation was made good, man, and we get to live in it now and for all eternity because God allowed us to do so. Joy is the moment that we realize how lucky we are to be here at all. We are here but for a blink of an eye. And in this blink of an eye, we're all here together. Every last one of us on earth are here together. And y'all, I've said it before, that's a miracle. It's a miracle that God spoke some billion years ago or whatever and a star exploded. It's a miracle that more happened and more happened and God knows what else happened and suddenly life existed and then suddenly we existed and we were born and we are here and we get to see each other now over the internet and somehow we don't know that that's a joyful miracle that we are right here now at all. Every one of us has stardust in our eyes, and we have a God that's told us how we are to go live out in the kingdom if we'll just live as God has called us to live and no other way, if we'll just live as if God is our God and nothing else is. Just look around and look at it. It's all there. We can have joy, but we've got to take a chance, and we've got to take a look. When have you felt that contentment, that God's kingdom is really good? When did you first know that to be true? When did you last experience it? Do you know that as we live as Jesus called us to live, pledging ourselves to the service of the Lord and to the service of nothing else? Do you know that when we spread the gospel of grace and mercy wherever we go, when we love people as much as we love ourselves, as if the least of these matter more than the most of these? When we give our coat away because we have to? Did you know that when we turn the other cheek and know that somebody doesn't dare strike us again? Do you know that when we realize that God is a rescuing God, and so thanks be to God that blessed are the poor and the blessed are the hungry and blessed are the imprisoned and blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are all of us who have been healed from our brokenness. Do you know that as we live, like Jesus said, live, that we will see joy because we'll be finally looking for all the other things that nothing of which the world has to offer? Do you know if we look where Jesus said look, that we will see God and God's will for this world today and tomorrow and forever? And y'all, if you can't find joy in doing that, I don't know that it can be found. God's way is the best way, amen? Isn't God's way just the most fantastic way? If you can't honk a horn, say amen. If you can't say amen, honk a horn. Now we got to talk about something. We're not done yet. If we don't talk about something else, then we're just selfish Christians, and I know nobody in this church wants to be a selfish Christian. That's not who we are around here. So we're going to take this joy thing a little bit farther this morning. The beauty of that joy is that it's like love, and you can't hold on to it. You can't keep it for yourself. Joy is like air. As soon as you try to squeeze it and hold on to it, it just floats out everywhere else in the world. Joy is not something we can control, and we can't hoard it up for ourselves. We can't pile it up. We can't put it in the bank. We can't put it under the mattress. We can't invest it hoping that some will come back to us. Joy isn't ours. We don't own it. The thing about joy is, if we don't want it for everybody, then we don't really know what joy is. We've mistaken it once again for happiness. Joy is the beauty that this creation was made for all of God's children, every last one. And it ought to be a burning desire for the Christian that every last one of it experiences it too. That ought to be our creed. That's the way we ought to demand that the world be. Our responsibility in joy is that we must make sure that everybody has the same chance to experience joy as we do. We can't find it and then keep other people out of it. That's not joy. And so we have to want it for everybody. If there are those that are held back from joy, Christians best be there clearing a path so everybody can come through. If there are those who are hurting and can't see joy because the world's concerns are weighing them down, the Christian ought to be there to show a new way. The Christians need to be listening. We need to be hugging. We need to be holding and carrying folks if need be, because those are the people that need joy more than anybody. It may be joy for the oppressed, well, it will be. But it also may be joy for the oppressor too, because it's our job to show everybody that God's way is the only way that we can all live to God like God wants us to, together, now and forevermore. Man, once we see joy, we want everybody to see it. It's the most beautiful thing God can do. Allow us, Lord, to see some joy. I was up on Lookout Mountain one time at a college that has a huge dining room, and it has a picture window that runs the length of the dining room, and that dining room window faces west. It's a fantastic view. It can be high noon, and it's just a beautiful view. Well, the evening I was there, we were gathered in groups eating dinner like we tend to do as people. And when the sun started setting behind some really tall mountains on the clouds on the horizon, they weren't ominous clouds by any means. They were just those big puffy ones, the ones you want to have in the night sky coming towards you. So as the sun dropped to the horizon, it began bouncing its rays off the clouds, and light built, and it built some more, and it built some more, until all of a sudden the entire sky was a gold like I had never seen before and hadn't seen since. It looked like an explosion occurred just right there over the horizon, and y'all, it was absolutely stunning. At first, we all just sort of looked out the window from where we were sitting. But as the color kept building, as it kept leaping up from the horizon, we all made our way over to the window. Nobody said a word. We just stood over there, and we walked over and to the window to take in every ray of the scene. A flaming ball some 94 million miles away dropped over the horizon of Tennessee, bounced its light off crystals and water droplets in the late evening sky, tickling nerves in the back of our eyes, and in that moment we felt joy. Joy that any of this was even possible. Thank you, God, for painting this picture. That scene might have ended, but I remember the joy. I'm glad there weren't cell phones back then, because I still remember how it made me feel. And I don't know if I'd been looking through a cell phone, if I'd have felt the same things or not. I'm glad there were other people there too. I don't know a single person's name that was in that room, but I just thank God that there were others there so that we could see it as a people together. Real joy, the kind of joy we may feel as people of faith, is the kind that makes sure that everyone can look out that window and see what God's made. Even if they don't want to look, they got a place to look from. That's joy. And if it's not for everybody, it's not from God. When we look for God, when we search out joy, and I mean when we really look, some say we'll find Him in the very thin places where the heavens almost touch the earth. We almost can't tell the difference between the two places when the Spirit hovers that close. Those thin places, are where love and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and self-control and gentleness and joy, it's where they all exist. It's where we can feel God because God is really that close. So church, go find those places. Experience God's joy by getting to know others better than you know them before. Go experience the joy that Jesus promised when he said to love others as much as you love yourselves. Well, the veil is thin there, and it is filled with great joy. And then go and make sure that we live in this world in such a way that no one is prevented from looking out the window at the joyful sunsets. Everybody gets to look. We all have the same stardust in our eyes and the same yearning for that joy. So I pray to God that you are blessed, church. I pray to God that you are blessed. I pray that you know joy, or if you don't know joy, that God might show you some sort of sunset today of your own, and that you might look. And I hope that you know joy from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Feel it, because God is a God of joy. And may we know it with every person that we meet. And all of God's people said, amen. Our last song, if I heard correctly, remember correctly, is Amazing Grace. I have a sneaking suspicion you have never heard Amazing Grace done like this. Let's all worship God together in song.
What he fails to mention is that you will likely never again hear Amazing Grace just like this.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that would save a wretch like me.
You cannot be joyful doing that. I don't know what we're going to do at this point. Praise God. Amen. Let's I want to read to you the prayer request for this week. And as you go through your week, we ask that you lift up these people asking for God's joy and healing and blessing in these times. We do have a praise first. Gary Bomar's surgery went very well. He's a little sore, but that's to be expected. He's feeling much better, though. These requests came in. Melanie Soyson, Bill Rowland, David Morton, Jackie Bullard, Brian Kennard, I believe the name is having surgery today for advanced throat and tongue cancer. We pray blessings on him and his family. Kayla, a friend of Anna's who has been really sick. A request for the family of Hank Williams Jr. His daughter apparently was killed in a car accident. So he sure brought us joy at times and happiness both, I'm sure. We need to be in prayer for his family. And then Bonnie Sneed and Judy Judkins, continue to pray for those. For any others that we need to be praying for, make sure you let us know in the office so that we can spread information and make sure we're praying for them. And always remember, we have the emergency prayer line. You can get a hold of Marie Crawford. You can get a hold of Diana Stout or me. We'll make sure that gets out to everybody as quickly as possible. Church, go out and feel joy in this world today. I hope you can find it in some beautiful and meaningful way. Let's go to God one more time in prayer. Gracious God, bless us as we leave this place. Allow us to be changed beings who walk away from where we are to where we're going to be and live like you would have us live. We ask these things, Lord, because we know that the world is teaching us all kinds of other ways to go about life. But you've taught us the real way, the one that is heaven on earth now and heaven later on in all eternity. We ask, God, that you bless us then. Give us the strength we need. Allow the Spirit to blow at our backs so we can be propelled in this world, showing everybody how beautiful you are. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So go in joy, go in grace, go in peace, go in mercy, go in love, and go showing joy to everybody. Lord, release us from where we are, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen.